You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
All righty. Welcome back. This is Deanna, and we were looking at an article that I wrote last year and that I redid and refined it and put more detail into it. And it appears that he said he suffered a trip and fall on or about January 26, 2010 in the Errol Estates community in which he then lived. Okay, so we got $25,000. We do have a caller. Let's take the caller, and then we'll get back to the article. Russell in Minnesota. Yes, Russell in Minnesota.
I understand Wolfgang Halbeck also has a pending lawsuit against the city of Newtown, claiming that he slipped and fell coming out of one of the porta potties, that he had a slip and fall coming out of one of the porta potties that it.
Buzz, you're just being silly. You're just being silly. I know that sometimes you do really funny things, but he did have a porta potty obsession. He should have been asking what drugs was Adam Lanz on. Instead, he was asking about the porta potties. And in any mass casualty incident, you're always going to have a non-government organization who is going to provide porta potties. They're going to provide water. It's what communities do. That's what they did in Columbine. So anyway, that's funny. I wouldn't put it past him to do something like that. He certainly is litigious. Yes?
I heard one observer say that they had seen Wolfgang coming and tripped as he exited one of the porta potties, and then 2 minutes later, Tim Fetzer came walking out of that same porta potty.
Oh, naughty, 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 Russ.
But I do have a serious question.
Okay,
I was listening to Rick Adams today, the Truth Avenger, whatever they call him. He was saying, and he was using the term today, Sandy Hoax. He was referring to the Sandy Hoax. He says that they have blood bags. Have you heard anything about these blood bags? Rick Adams claims that they're using these. But I asked him, is this ketchup they're using? He said, no, it's blood bags. Now,
for what?
He said all of these mass shootings, they ship in blood bags to make it appear as though.
And what is his source for that?
I don't know. I was wondering, do you happen to where?
No.
Where did they get this information?
Halbeck said in one of his many, many radio interviews that there were 50 to 60 gallons of blood that had to be cleaned up. And given the number of people that were killed, that's absolutely outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. And Clean Harbors is the one that came in and cleaned it up. That's what they do. That's what they do, but 50 to 60 gallons. I think the average adult has a quart and a half of blood, and there were 26 that were dead, and they certainly didn't all bleed out every drop of blood. Oh, he is just has his figures wrong. He's got.
But I mean, I understand how big is, but when you get to a guy like Rick Adams, you know who. I'm curious what makes his point of view so popular. You know, on RBN,
when you hear something repeatedly, and people want to belong to the consensus group. When a child is in a classroom and they have a different view than the 20 other students or the 25 other students. They're very reticent to raise their hand and say, I disagree. People are herd animals. We've been trained, indoctrinated, brainwashed in our government schools to all think alike. And so even though there are radio broadcasters who promote this stuff, with everything, you must look at their sources. And if you cannot cite sources, then you have to look at where the information is coming from. Rick Adams is a very nice person. Most of the people who are hoaxers or who, well, I won't say most, the majority of the followers of the top hoaxers are incredibly nice, intelligent people. But they get swept away because if you only look at one side, if all I did all day was look at YouTube University videos and read crazy books that don't have sources, I would have fallen for that too. But you really have to, I think that you really have to look at who's putting this garbage out. You have to look at the sources. And I do have an advantage because I was a researcher, a genealogical family history researcher for so many years that I learned how to do research in libraries using microfiche. I had a microfiche here in my house, and that's what I did. I learned how to do primary research, and most people, I mean, I hate to say this, but most people simply do not know how to do research, and they just go along with other people's conclusions, especially when those other people claim to have credentials. It just, well, like the doctor who gives a prescription to a mother for her infant child to be on Prozac, the mother might go ahead and do that because that guy has a white coat on. He's an authority figure. So when somebody comes along talking about his credentials and seeming to be have all this experience, then and he's a nice guy, and they appeal to the emotion. There's one fellow that says, oh, why didn't they rush those little bodies out of there? And they just appeal to emotion. They appeal to your sense of outrage and emotion. They say, well, if you were a parent and your child was in that school, wouldn't you just run in there and tear that school down and go through the doors? No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't.
Wolfgang Albig said, according to everything he's seen with his extensive law enforcement background, that he would have seen that those parents would have broken the glass of the doors and broken into that building.
Well,
now,
Wolf,
he's got years and years of extensive law enforcement.
We're going to cover that. I'm going to cover that with this article. He didn't make it past the probationary period as a state trooper. He didn't make it past.
You might have to get a real law enforcement expert like Chris from Las Vegas to come on and talk
well,
about it.
I did have an expert come on, and he said that Halbig said that he was a customs agent. You have to go through the same kind of training to be a customs agent as you do to be a state trooper. It's just crazy when you put the timeline. Wolfgang Halbig timeline together. We're going to cover that right now. We're going to cover that. So thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Bye now.
Okay. Bye bye. Okay. Now back to this this article. Wolfgang Halbig, psych drugs and court cases. He brought the suit against the city. He lived in that city at the time, and he made $25,000. It was a slip and fall. Okay, so then he brought a personal injury case against the Errol Estate Property Owners Association, and he filed that in the circuit court in Orange County, Florida. And it was for the very same slip and fall. Hey, the guy got $25,000 in his first lawsuit. Why not just push it a little bit and see if he could get some more out of the Property Owners Association? Well, in order to do that, he had to have a deposition. Now, when you have a deposition, it is actually a formal legal proceeding, just like testifying in court. And the person is under the same legal obligation to tell the truth, which I think Mr. Halbig finds a very, very difficult thing to do. So, but he had to do this deposition. And the deposition was on May 18th, 2012. Now, when he had his slip and fall, he was 6 feet tall, weighed 276 pounds. And that was on January 26th of 2010. When he gave his deposition, he weighed the same. He was, of course, the same height. And this was on May 18th, 2012. Okay, keep that date in mind. This was just a few months. Let's see. I think he started the his Child Safety Institute maybe 3-4 months later. Anyway, so he gave his deposition, and the lawyer is asking him questions. It's very difficult for Halbig to stay on topic. He just, well, you know how he is. Anyway, he said, and I quote, "I'm going up a hill, I'm tired, but that's where you want to really push it, because that's where you get your extra zip in there." 276 pounds? Okay. And he says, "They wave at me. I wave back. Just as I pass them, there's a stop sign that's about to come up." Okay, so I'm looking at the stop sign up in front of me. All of a sudden comes a car behind me, and they're beeping the dadgum horn. scares the living heck out of me, because I don't know what they're doing. I got kids yelling. All of a sudden, when I turn, I'm turning left, I'm gone. The next thing I remember is I'm on the ground, and somebody is shaking me, saying, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" Quote, unquote. Okay. Anyway, he did. He lost the case because the public sidewalks belong to the city of, in this case, Apopka. And so, of course, he lost the case, and the judge awarded Errol $3,954.30 in attorney fees on September 29th, 2016. It took him that long to get this case settled. I wonder if he's paid. He doesn't seem to pay. He has not paid C.W. Wade. I believe that he owes C.W. Wade $27,000. I know that he owes Shill Murray $1,000 because Shill Murray furnished him with those photos of on 2012 on Veterans Day. And so so that's where the donors' money's going. So all you people who donated money, that's where it's going. Anyway, during this deposition, he says that he saw doctors at the Jewett Orthopedic Clinic. He claims that he could not play tennis, golf, do yard work, or engage in other strenuous activities. At the time of his accident in 2012, he claims that he was jogging 2 miles a day. In the deposition, he stated, as I said before, he was 6 feet tall and weighed 276 pounds on January 26, 2010. And his height and weight were the same as when he gave the deposition. He was born August 10th, 1946. And I personally find it difficult to think that a man that's jogs 2 miles a day would weigh that much. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. Okay, so let's establish a timeline, which I've done. He arrived in the United States in 1958, he graduated from the Avon Park High School, and he could barely speak English. He had a 1-point GPA. What got him through high school is football and baseball. From 1965 to 1966, he was in junior college for Florida State players who couldn't speak English. And this was in Coffeyville, Kansas. And he did not actually enroll at Florida State. He was naturalized in Abilene, Texas, 1968. But before that, he was in the Air Force from 1966 to 1970. He never left the country despite his claims of serving during the Vietnam War, despite his intimations that he was in the Vietnam War. He never left the country. He was, according to his DD-214, which is your discharge papers, he was a combative measures instructor. He didn't have a pilot license. He was never a member of the Strategic Air Command, which he claimed he was. He was never a disastrous preparedness instructor and never a physical fitness specialist, as he has since claimed. From 1970 to 1973, he had a full scholarship, probably because of his sports activities. He received a Bachelor of Science in Education, and at that time he was known as a womanizer. In 1973, he went to Lake Blantley High School in Seminole County. And per the deposition, let me read this to you. Well, in those days, in 1973, the fad was girls didn't wear bras, and they had very short skirts, and it seemed like nobody wanted to enforce the dress code. And for young coaches, in those days, you could get yourself in trouble if you were not careful. To me, I didn't want to lose my certification, so I became a state trooper, quote unquote. Okay. Well, we know what some coaches, well, I'm not going to say that because it's speculation, but he left. Okay, from 1974 to 1976, he attended the academy in Tallahassee for 3.5 months and graduated with a certificate from CJST. He was assigned to Troop E in Miami, and a probationary period is 1 year. Okay, 1 year. A Florida State trooper does not conduct homicide investigations, as he claimed in Miami, or in any other county in Florida. Their function is as accident investigators and ticket writers. He voluntarily resigned because he claimed, this is so stupid, and I quote, "I was shot at too many times, and there's too many fights and broken noses, and I thought I could do better, a better job going back into prevention," unquote. Yet with all the shootings and fights, Halbig was never injured. And if that was if he was shot at, and if there were broken noses, don't you think he would have filed a claim or some sort of, trust me, he would have filed a court suit or a lawsuit. But he was never injured. Oh, well, he just didn't get past the probationary period. So he said, well, gosh, I'll just go back to teaching. So from 1976 to 79, he was a teacher, a wrestling and football coach at Lake Weir High School. He was fired January 27, 1979, for lying and looking for another job. Lying? How big lying? Oh, my gosh. In 1979, he married Kathleen Audrey Smith. They later divorced and remarried in 1995 in Las Vegas. 1979 to 1981, he was Vanguard High School. He taught driver's ed. 1981 to 83, he went back to Lake Brantley. His memory, he said, was very faulty. He was also at Lake Weir High School. Notice that he jumped around a lot. Usually, I don't know. I've never been a teacher, but I think that the teachers kind of do stay at a school for a long time. I don't know. Anyway, 1983 to 86, Highlands County School Board teacher. He worked for the school board, teacher and coach. Workers. Oh, he filed a workers' comp. Okay, because he had a back injury. He fell 5 to 6 rows in the bleachers in the stadium at Sebring High School. Okay, then he went and he got a master's degree at Nova University, which is a satellite campus in Gainesville, Florida, in 1988. Oh, okay. Take a quick break here. Be right back. Thank you.
past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with voracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
All righty, welcome back. Welcome back. This is Deanna. Let me just quickly answer another question from the chat room. Is there any video yet released of Adam Lanza approaching or at Sandy Hook Elementary School? No, because there were no video cameras at Sandy Hook Elementary School. The only monitoring system they had was you pressed a button at the door and told them who you were. The person at the front desk in the office would let you in. So the only evidence that Adam Lanza was at the Sandy Hook Elementary School were the 26 bodies that he left bleeding in two classrooms. Okay, let's get back to how big. Okay. So, he went back in 1986 to 1990 to Lake Brantley High School, and he taught American government, American history, and football. He was a football coach. I find it, if any of the listeners have read his emails, I just find it really difficult to believe that he was able to teach. I don't know. Okay, 1990 to 1993, Lyman High School. 1993 to 94, Lake Mary High School, assistant principal. 94 to 95, opened an alternative school called Project Excel. 1996 to 2012, he said he's an expert witness. And during that time, he handled, keep in mind that's 16 years, handled 13 cases during that time under his business, WK and Associates, which was only in business for 2 years. 1995 to 1999, he was director of school safety for the Seminole County School Board. In 2001, he established the National Institute for School and Workplace Safety, which was defunct in 2003. The attorney asked Halbig why he started and dismantled instead of just keeping one viable. He said he never thought of it. Okay, that's believable. 2002, he received a $500,000 contract from Anne Arundel County, Maryland, school superintendent, but through school superintendent Dr. Eric Smith, former principal in Winter Park. 1994 to 2004, he was retired. 2004 to 2005, assistant principal, Sanford Middle School. He was hurt in a ruckus with a student, hired an attorney, filed a workers' comp claim, received $10,000. 2005, admitted to having an affair with someone in Sebring. His wife found out, asked his doctor for some Cialis. Okay. I guess people can participate in recreational activities. Okay, 2005 to 2009, he is director of risk management, Lake County School Board. He filed a workers' comp because he stubbed his toe on a concrete parking block, was not reappointed by the new superintendent, Dr. Susan Moxley. He then filed a complaint due to the alleged harassment and hostile work environment with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. He dropped the claim as his wife asked him, inasmuch as the claim was against her employer. And I assume that she was probably making most of the money, and this caused marital discord, according to the deposition. 2009, he began to write a movie script and also functioned as an expert witness. January 2011 to June 2011, teacher at Sanford Middle School. May 2012, he said that his retirement benefits were $52,000 a year, Social Security about $20,000. He receives about $43,000 from other sources, claims to have a license as a claims adjuster. Now, please note that he did not claim, and he gave his deposition in May of 2012, he did not claim to be a nationally known school safety expert because he wasn't. He didn't become nationally known until Sandy Hook. Sandy Hook put him on the map. He did not claim to work as a customs agent. He did not claim to be a homicide investigator. He did not claim that the DOJ called him to evaluate Columbine, among some of the other claims. Now, he filed a suit after he broke up a fight. He got $10,000. He also had workers' compensation claim from the Highlands County School Board. He seems to file a lot of claims. He had an accident, a car accident in 2004-2005, in which he claimed a neck injury, and he received $12,000 from that car accident in his Ford Explorer. It didn't do a lot of damage. His wife was a passenger. She wasn't hurt, but apparently he suffered incredible neck damage. He couldn't turn his head to the right or to the left, and he filed a claim, of course. He claimed that he suffered a right knee injury when he fell in January 2010. He just complained about a lot of things. The attorney asked him if taking any type of medication on the day of the deposition would affect his memory. And he said, not that I can say, because I used to have great memory before the fall. The attorney responded, "So you're blaming a lack of great memory now in the fall?" Halbig answered, "Absolutely." And can't you just hear Halbig saying, "Absolutely"? Then the attorney asked, "Okay, so my question is simply this. Are you taking any type of medication that would affect your memory here today?" Halbig said, "No." Now, he was prescribed in July of 2009 the antidepressant Effexor. It's an antidepressant of a serotonin it's an SNRI. It's not as dangerous as the SSRIs, and it was to help his anger issues toward the new person that did not rehire him or reappoint him. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
And we're talking about Wolfgang Halbig. Anyway, he said that he was very angry and about not being reappointed by Dr. Susan Moxley, and so the doctor put him on Effexor in 2009. And this really goes against his resume because he says that he implied that he was reappointed. And anyway, Effexor was not sufficient. And so he had his doctor prescribe something else. So the doctor put him on Cymbalta and Wellbutrin, and which are two very strong psychic drugs. And Halbig said that he did not like going to the psychiatrist because he felt that as an athlete that he was strong enough to handle his own mental problems. well... I'll just keep my remarks to myself. Anyway, the attorney asked him why he was taking Wellbutrin, and it's very strange. He said he didn't know. Gosh, I don't know. And I just think that that's really kind of a you really need to know. And the attorney, as I said, asked him, and Halbig said, "I have no idea," quote unquote. And the attorney expressed surprise that Halbig did not inquire about the medication and Wellbutrin. The attorney asked Halbig what kinds of medications he was currently taking, and Halbig stated, "I take the same medication every day." Evidently, this was Cymbalta, Wellbutrin, and the attorney asked if the medication affected his memory, and Halbig answered that he used to have a great memory before the fall, and the attorney said, "Then you're blaming the lack of a good memory now in the fall." And that's when Halbig said, "Absolutely." Now, the doctor that he went to is a board-certified in geriatric psychiatry and regular psychiatry. He has a special expertise in eight areas: in Alzheimer's disease, attention deficit disorder, bipolar disorder, manic depressive disorder, depression, depressive disorder, insomnia, schizophrenia, and sleep disorders. Now, withdrawing from Eli Lilly's Cymbalta because of its severity can cause its own diagnoses, and I have a link that you can follow along and see how to get off of this, or how it's recommended that you get off of this. But the discontinuance can be very severe and extend for weeks or even months, and may include extreme mood swings, anger, irritability, debilitating brain saps, all kinds of terrible things. And in addition to taking these drugs, he was also taking painkillers, the painkillers that he was taking were very dangerous. He was taking all of this at the same time. Plus, he took a regular over-the-counter medication. So this seems to be a very over-medicated individual, and which is very dangerous. And he takes pain. He says he has headaches, other physical issues. It's destroyed his sex life with his wife. He takes tramadol, which is an opioid pain medication used to treat moderate to moderately severe pain. Let's see, tramadol. He's just very highly medicated. So I guess the point of this is the fact that this deposition was given in May of 2012. And if he had the background that he said he did, he doesn't have it. He has lied about his background, and it has brought him thousands upon thousands of dollars, enough money so that he can pay $1,000 for a picture of the 2012 Veterans Day celebration. Okay, now what should we cover? Anybody want to call into the program? It's 800-313-9443. Let's take a look. I'm sorry. Did not know. Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't know you were on. Ferner, welcome to the program.
Yeah, good evening, Diana. You are picking on very hot pieces of iron. And I think it needs to be brought to the attention of the public what kind of schemes and what kind of fraud and what kind of crimes have been covered up by the so-called psychiatric profession.
That's true.
When I heard that you were talking about this issue there, I wrote down a few names, what I'd encountered over the last 42 years. First one, a Dr. Nayak. When the RCMP was covering up hate crimes, in my case, he comes from Myanmar or Burma, you know. Then the second one, from Haiti. Where I was being sent upon false accusations. The third one, when I was being put in the mental institution, his name was Dr. Alam, a young fellow from Bangladesh. The next one, a Dr. Kumar from India. The next one, a Dr. Vivelin from Lithuania. And then the next one is Dr. Tahir from, I think, Pakistan. This was now a few years ago when I was in court. And I went to him and asked that any interaction with him would be recorded because I was representing myself in court and that there would be no misunderstandings to have the interaction with him being recorded because I represented myself. I intended to cross-examine him, you know, and he refused. The next one was a Dr. Akinmokun, a lady from Nigeria, who within 18 hours basically changed 180 degrees around and cooked up a story, which was ultimately being thrown out because of the evidence I presented. And then last year I had a medical emergency where I basically had been had to be picked up by the ambulance and brought to the hospital because my heart stopped beating, I stopped breathing, you know. But then I felt already better when we came to the hospital, and we had agreed with Renate, you know Renate, she has another horror story about the psychiatric profession, but we had agreed that I wouldn't take any medication, I wouldn't stay in the hospital. And since I felt already better, I told that to that young woman doctor. And they had already a psychiatrist on standby, a Dr. Toshi from India, you know. And on the next gurney, there were then two RCMP officers. And I figured, but anyway, I said to the doctor, I feel better and I want to go home. And so she sent this psychiatrist over. And I just told him, do you not know Dr. Akinmokun, you know? And he went back to the doctor, and Renate heard him talking. Oh, I don't want to get involved because, you know, Moncton is a relatively small community, about 100,000 people, and the word must have got around the way I made mincemeat out of his colleague in court, you know, that her all her assessment was being thrown out, you know. But basically, I got the impression that psychiatry has been used as a backup to cover up the inaction of police and to cover up crimes and protect the criminals. This is not just only in New Brunswick. It happened in Nova Scotia. It happened in the New England states. And in the at the beginning of the program, you were talking about Connecticut. And a friend of mine from Connecticut there years ago, she had encountered the same situation. Basically, the psychiatrists are the last resource for a corrupt establishment to cover up all the crimes that have been committed.
Okay. Well, as I said, Big Pharma is a big business. U.S. government invests in an awful lot of money into Big Pharma. And the states cooperate through their Department of Health and Human Services. It is their job to do business with Big Pharma, and as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, that they have been instructed from the CDC that the Congress was not to investigate this or anything like that. So. Yes, there's a lot going on behind the curtain, and it's pretty bad. So thank you.
Jan, about 30 or 40 years ago, a neighbor who was very well read, very well educated, he pointed out to me that there had been years earlier a survey, and they surveyed young people that were coming to that were going to university. And they were being asked, would you be willing to kill someone for, $50,000? And according to that survey, 80% said yes, you know, when it couldn't be proven committed that crime.
Well, you don't have to take $3,000 or to even accept a bribe, because doctors have a license to kill. If you did, if you performed the same kind of service for your next-door neighbor that a doctor does, you would get arrested because you don't have a license. The state, the American Medical Association, licenses a doctor. The state licenses a doctor. So they get to do that. You don't have to say, here's an extra $3,000 under the table. It's just part of their job. I hate to say that, but that is the truth. They have a license to do those things.
And there's another aspect, too. Many of those that come to university, they're very peeved off if they don't get a high-paying job. And if the government doesn't give them a job, they would be on the street and would create civil unrest and foment revolution. So rather...
Well, that might be the case. I don't know.
No. As I say, who was pushing, communism, in the European countries and
sure.
in North America? It was from the very same group of people.
Okay. Well, we're not talking about groups of people, or we're talking about, I've tried to make this, I've tried to personalize this and talk about the victims of Sandy Hook. And yeah. I know that there are other, it's about guns, or it's about this, or it's about that, or it's this group of people who did it, and that group of people, but it's about the people. It's really about the victims, and these are the real victims. Halbig's not a victim. Fetzer's not a victim. James Tracy's not a victim. The victims were in Sandy Hook, Sandy Hook Elementary School. So I need to move on because we do have some other callers.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, let's take Murr in Wisconsin. Murr, welcome to the program.
Hi, Deanna.
Hi, how are you?
How are you?
I'm good.
It's the first time I've talked to you.
I know, we've emailed back and forth, but...
Yeah.
There we are.
You sound even better on the phone.
Well, thank you.
You know, I
bless your heart.
I learned a lot from you, especially like with Dr. Judy Wood. You know, I'm a little ashamed for the scoffing I did because it was what everyone else was doing. But the more I researched that, the more I found, and the sphere is, expanded. The more I learned about directed energy weapons and different things. And, you know, I don't come from nowhere. I've lived a life and learned a lot of things, and I'm still learning. And I asked the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to guide me. And never fails. He always does. And I'm happy for the, I never expected to be so happy being on my own, but it's made me sharper in those spiritual aspects. And you're teaching about... things that happened in World War II opened my eyes, too, and I learned from that. And that sphere keeps expanding. But this aspect, this Sandy Hook, I totally disagree with your findings.
They're not my findings.
This is your research, and this is...
No, it's not mine. It isn't my research.
It is your research. This is what you were telling us. The research,
okay.
I've looked into what you say, and I've looked into what many others say, and it's not the same thing. And it's all right. We don't have to agree with each other. We don't agree
Absolutely.
With ourselves from formally, right? You didn't agree with what you first thought about this, and maybe you'll change again. We all keep changing because we need to. But we need to not impugn each other's characters and go on for 20 minutes about a man's history. How is that relevant to what you're talking about, really?
How is it relevant? It's because,
as I said before,
when you are looking at somebody's what they've said and what they claim to have to be.
I'm talking about the circumstances of their life. I would never laugh about the circumstances of your life. When you had Lori Handrahan on, that was very impressive, and the information she gave, but at the very end, she said, it's the white men. Now, why did she put that little knife in our back? Why did she do that? And right away, it made me think about another one named Rebecca Gompertz, and she's an abortionist, right?
You ask a question. Let me answer it. Because according to the research that she has done, most of the people who were arrested for the crime that she was talking about were white, ordinary people. It wasn't...
I was checking...
We do have to go to a break. We'll be right back. We have to go to a break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna. And let me just address what our friend Murr said. How big, yes, I probably should not laugh. I guess that's my weakness of character. However, how big is a liar? His lying about his background, his constant harassment of people who have lost children, his lawsuits against people who have lost children. This is not just benign behavior. This is causing people to have to move for fear of their lives. It has caused people to use fake names. People have desecrated the graves of these children. What he is doing is not benign behavior. He is responsible for a lot of people doing a lot of really bad things. And I'm not too sorry that I'm calling him out on it. And I will continue to call him out on it because he is a fraud. His background, he has lied about his background. When he developed the Children's Safety Institute, he shut that institute down 3 days after I interviewed him on March 3rd, 2014. He shut it down. And when he created that institute, two of the people that he used for referrals were already previously dead. He said that his office was implying that he had this wonderful office. It turned out to be the UPS office, a mailbox at the UPS office. He is a liar. Am I going to believe anything he says with all the damage and the hatred that he is causing? Heavens no. I will not stop. I will not stop. I will continue to be objective. It takes objectivity to look at both sides. If people want to spend their time at YouTube University and look at YouTube videos and listen to people who appeal to emotion, lie about their backgrounds, lie about their experience, then that's their decision. But I will not back down. I am not a liar. Yes, I did have a slip and fall. I didn't sue anybody. I got up and I took care of myself. Okay? That is what I did. So if I've offended somebody, well, I'm sorry. I guess that's just me. Sometimes I'm offensive. But I do not lie. And I am objective. I do look at both sides. Both sides. If all I did was listen to the YouTube videos and all the other and I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it to begin with because I saw the deception. If they're going to fabricate one thing and fabricate dozens and dozens and dozens of things, I'm sorry. That's just the way I feel, and I'm not backing down. When people lie, they deserve to be called out on it when it hurts other people, when they're harassing little children, when they're harassing children, that they're saying, oh, this child used... The words that they're using against these children are just terrible. This is dangerous, and I'm not stopping, okay? Hey, thanks for joining me today. Take care. Bye-bye.
About something serious for a minute, your age. Getting old has its perks, but remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.